From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
Former from Vivo, welcome to lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you. Join me in segment number two. We are going to have one of our good friends, William Bohr, aboard. He does a tremendous job looking at this great game of baseball over at Action Network. We're going to be talking with him about a little of what we've seen in terms of the first 2.5 weeks of the season, some of the things that have been a little bit of a surprise to him, what he's made out of run scoring here in the early part of the season. We're going to be diving in on a lot of Monday's games, and I know he's going to take a look at a few upside guys as well. So we've got ourselves a nice chat coming up with William in segment number two. In the final segment, going to get you guys picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Monday as we touch them all 30 teams in action, by the way, a rarity for a Monday. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we have for this in. First one is my Twitter / X timeline at @Junet_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, naming does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast by that 5-star review. Did not get in any Twitter / X questions today, but we had ourselves a fun day of baseball on Sunday. Let's take a look back at it, try to find some trends, and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
Games from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
The Miami Marlins yak away another game, and they don't even cover it on the run line. They go into the ninth inning up by a count of 7-6, and then they make like your buddy at the bar, and they cannot close. Also, by the way, another over for the Atlanta Braves, as for the Braves, they are 10 overs, 3 unders at a push this far this season. Highest clip in all baseball, and they get this one done by kind of 9-7, and it was all about Marcell Ozuna in the ninth inning. 3-run shot to be able to give them the win and be able to cover the run line in seventh of the campaign. That comes off of Tanner Scott with 2 on and 2 out for Scott. He gave up 3 runs in that inning of work, and it was not the start that Jesus Luzardo was looking for either. 5-run surrender over the course of 5 innings as he does allow a home run to Adam Duvall, his first since coming back to the Atlanta Braves. He had Sixto Sanchez, Andrew Nardi, both to provide a scoreless inning, and Anthony Bender. He gives up a run in an inning. Meanwhile, for the Marlins, pair of home runs of their own. Brian De La Cruz, he goes deep off of Charlie Morton, his second home run of the campaign, and Nick Flash Gordon goes deep off of Dylan Lee, his third of the campaign. For Lee, he gives up that home run in a third of an inning. For Charlie Morton, he got just completely gashed in this one. 6 runs surrendered in 5 2/3 innings, including that bomb. From there, though, Joey Jimenez, A.J. Minter, Rossy Iglesias, all able to supply a scoreless inning to be able to get that one to the window. Wild one with our DK Network write-up pick, as we took the plus price with the Cleveland Guardians, and they get the job done by a count of 8-7. This in 10 innings. Guardians get down early. They fight their way back to be up by a count of 5-4 going into the bottom of the ninth inning, as Estevan Florel, the former New York Yankee, with a pinch hit home run off of Luke Weaver, second home run season prior to that. Yeah, Nestor Cortez Marquez give up a pair of home runs, Jose Ramirez, his third home run season, and Gabriel Arias, he gets his first. As for Cortes, another rough start for him. Four runs surrendered in four innings, including those two home runs. From there, Nick Birdie, a long play home, supply a scoreless inning. Victor Gonzalez, one and a third inning scoreless, and Ed Weaver give up that home run in one and two-thirds innings before Caleb Ferguson in the 10th inning gives up three runs, two of which were earned, as he also had some tomfoolery with regards to the fielding for the Yankees in that as well. And Aaron Judge, he was able to get online. He goes deep off of Logan Allen, his third home run of the campaign, and Allen gives one up also to Jose Trevino, his first home run of the campaign. Not what Logan Allen was looking for in this one. Four runs surrendered in five and two-thirds innings. Before Cade Smith, Scott Barlow, they combined for a scoreless inning. Hunter Gaddis, one and a third inning scoreless. Emmanuel Clase, though, he blew the save in the ninth inning. And Tyler Beede, it looked like he blew the game, giving up two runs, one of which was earned in the 10th. But they were able to do just enough to be able to get the job done. And the Guardians have all of a sudden been an over team thus far this season. Nine overs, five unders, and a push. Meanwhile, the Yankees, one of your best under teams in all of baseball. Five overs, 10 unders, and a push. Your next best under team, tied with the New York Yankees for that top mark, that'd be the Seattle Mariners, as once again, they could not generate any offense on Sunday. 3-2, they fall to the Chicago Cubs, as for the Cubs, Javier Assad gives up two runs in five and two-thirds innings, including home run going deep. For Seattle, it was Mr. Ore Polanco, his second home run campaign. That's pretty much all the offense that you have for Seattle, though. Yancy Almonte not out of the bullpen. Mark Leiter Jr., Edbert Elsley, Hector Neris all supply a scoreless inning. And Matt Busch, fourth straight game with a home run for him. He goes deep off of Luis Castillo for his fifth. For Castillo, gives up three runs, two of which were earned by his own fielding error, so pretty much three. But that said, you had from there Gabe Spire, Trent Thornton, Brett DeGuise all be able to supply a scoreless inning, but the offense could not help them out. And the St. Louis Cardinals offense has also been in an almighty funk this season as well. Five overs, nine unders, and two pushes for them thus far this season. 5-0, they get blanked by the Arizona Diamondbacks. Miles Michaelis, rough start here. Five runs surrendered in four and two-thirds innings. Andre Pallante from there, he gives you a scoreless inning. And Ryan Fernandez does supply two and a third inning scoreless. But, I mean, it's right now a miserable season for Paul Goldschmidt. He had a rough series against his former team. He's out hitting a .193. And for Arizona, Zach Gallen just absolutely put the St. Louis Cardinals on lockdown. Seven punch-outs, six scoreless innings. Joe Mantiply, Ben Jarvis from there, they combined for three scoreless innings. Another team has been very good to the under, the Minnesota Twins, who are just not generating any offense right now this season. 4-3, the Detroit Tigers take them down. As for Minnesota, they had a nice start from Bailey Ober, six scoreless innings, and then the bullpen completely gas cans this one in the eighth inning. All four runs that they surrender come in the eighth inning, and they allowed a home run to Javi Baez, one of the biggest wastes of money in sports. His first home run of the season, that comes off of Caleb Theobar. Theobar gives up three runs in a third of an inning. Griffin Jacks, he gets Jacks up, giving up a run in two-thirds of an inning, while Brock and Roll Stewart, he provided a scoreless inning. Meanwhile, for the Detroit Tigers, Captain Jack Flaherty does give up three runs in six and a third innings, including a home run to one Christian Vasquez, his first home run of the season, but the bullpen from there does their part. Will Vest, one and two-thirds inning scoreless, and Jason Foley is able to supply a scoreless inning of his own. The San Francisco Giants have been a all-over-the-place team thus far this season. 10 overs and 6 unders for them thus far this year, and, well, they gave up their fair share of runs to the Tampa Bay Rays. 9-4, Tampa Bay is able to get this one done as Blake Snell. Against his former team, he did not look great. 7 runs in 4 innings, he got a late start due to contract and just agreement in general sort of talks, and from there, you weren't able to get a ton out of K.Y. Tang. He, in long relief, gives up two runs over the course of 3 2/3 innings, but both were solo home runs as you had one part of Rogers squared and Taylor Rogers getting out of the bullpen as well for the Rays. Four home runs in this game as you had Ahmed Rosario get his first home run season. Rene Pinto gets his first and second home runs of the campaign, and Isaac Paredes off of Tang gets his fifth home run of the year. Tyler Alexander in a bulk role, relatively solid, gives up two runs over the course of six innings. Michael Conforto, one deep off of him for his fourth home run of the campaign, and then Kevin Kelly gives up a run in an inning, and the opener, Sean Armstrong, he gives up one run over the course of two innings. Yeah, the Mets and the Royals royally not be able to put up runs as the Mets. They get a 2-1 win. They've been better with their offense recently, but this was a step in the wrong direction for both of them as the Mets ran into Cole Ragans, who went six scoreless innings, but we're going to see a lot of this. The Royals bullpen royally screw over our good friend in Ragans, as Sean Schreiber scoreless inning from there, but Chris Stratton, he gives up two runs in an inning, giving up four walks in that inning, and lone form of offense for the Royals, Vinny Pescantino, he goes deep off of Edwin Diaz, his second home run of the season for Diaz, gives up that home run in his inning of work, but Jose Buto turned a gem, gives up just 2 hits, 9 punchouts, and 6 scoreless innings. He's an underrated starter to watch. Adam Ottavino, Brooks Raley from there, they're able to supply a scoreless inning. The Blue Jays supplied a lot of scoreless innings on Sunday as well. They've been a little bit more of a under team, and they're able to get the win in this one 5-0 against the Colorado Rockies, who are now 4-12. Not as pathetic as the White Sox, but that said, for Kyle Freeland, he's rocking a 13-21 ERA. 4 runs surrendered in 5 innings. Sadly, one of his best starts of the year. Jalen Beeks, scoreless inning. You had Victor Vodnik provide a scoreless inning as well before Anthony Molina gives up a run and an inning, and just no dice for the Colorado Rockies offense. Jose Barrios, 7 scoreless innings before Genesis Cabrera, Nate Pierce, and they're able to supply a scoreless inning. And speaking of those aforementioned Chicago White Sox, they gas can another game. 11-4, they lose the Cincinnati Reds as Graham Ashcraft gives up 2 runs, one of which was earned in 5 2/3 innings before Lucas Sims gives up 2 runs in a third of an inning. But Emilio Pagan, Alexis Diaz, Justin Wilson, they all supply a scoreless inning. And for the Cincinnati Reds, pair of home runs in this one. Nick Martini, his third home run season. Christian Encarnacion Strand in second. As for Mike Soroka, his time with the Chicago White Sox has not been great, to say the least, giving up 5 runs over the course of 4 2/3 innings. And then Tanner Banks, 5 runs, 2 of which were earned, given up in 2 innings before you had Tim Hill give up an unearned run in an inning. And Justin Anderson, 4 outs out of the bullpen, scoreless for him. You saw the Oakland A's rally to win. They're now 0-3 on the run line as a favorite this year, but 2-1 straight up in these ordeals. 7-6, they take down the Washington Nationals. Lane Thomas was able to take Alex Wood for a ride. That's home run number 2 of the campaign. As for Alex Wood, not a great start here. He gives up 4 runs in 4 1/3 innings, including that home run. You did have 2 runs surrendered in 1 2/3 innings by Mitch Spence before Danny Jimenez, Mason Miller, Lucas Hirsch. They're able to supply a scoreless inning, and Miller strikes out the side on 13 pitches. And for the Oakland A's, they go 4 of 7 with men in scoring position, putting up a 6 spot in the 6th inning. Trevor Williams, prior to that, he was holding down the fort, gives up 3 runs in 5 1/3 innings, and then Derek Law. Well, tis the law that he got lit up. 4 runs surrendered in 1/3 inning. Jordan Weems, 1/3 inning with nothing surrendered. Dylan Floro, Matt Barnes, both lend a scoreless inning. But the A's, the Triple A's, they are ahead of the old Houston Astros right now in the division, as the Astros, they do get another win to be able to salvage a series against the Texas Rangers. They are able to win their last 2-8-5. The final is for Nathan Eovaldi. He gets lit up in this game for 5 runs over the course of 6 innings, including a pair of homers by Jose Altuve, 4th and 5th home runs of the season in this one. 3 runs surrendered in 1/3 inning by Yuri Rodriguez before you did have 5 outs out of the bullpen scoreless from Cole Wynn in his MLB debut. Meanwhile, for the Texas Rangers, pair of home runs, Evan Carter, his 2nd of the campaign off of Christian Javier, and then Seth Martinez giving up to Marcus Semien, his 2nd. As for the Texas Rangers, they had just 2 runs on the board prior to the 9th inning, so rough one for them as Christian Javier gets up just 2 runs over the course of 7 innings. Taylor Scott comes in for a scoreless inning. Josh Hader, he gets the final out of the game after Seth Martinez allows that home run, 3 runs in total over the course of 2/3 of an inning. But the Astros, they're able to find a way to be able to get back-to-back wins, so that is big for them. And what else is pretty big is the Milwaukee Brewers and the amount of runs that they're putting up, but they were not able to get the start that they were looking for out of Colin Ray. And in the return for Corbin Burns against the Milwaukee Brewers, Burns and the Orioles get the job done by a count of 6-4 for Colin Ray. He gives up 3 runs over the course of 5 2/3 innings, including a pair of home runs for Baltimore. You had Cedric Mullins get his 3rd home run in the campaign, and then Ryan O'Hearn his 2nd home run in the campaign before Colton Kowser, 4th home run of the season and 4th home run in the last 7 days. That comes off of Hobie Milner. Milner gives up that home run in his inning of work. Abner Uribe gives up 2 runs in an inning as well. And Brian Hudson, he got an out of the bullpen for the Brewers. Pair of home runs for them. William Contreras off of Corbin Burns, 4th home run season. And Yennier Cano did give one up to Blake Perkins, his 2nd home run in the campaign. Cano gives up just 1 run in 1 1/3 innings. And for Corbin Burns, did allow 3 runs, just 2 of which were earned, hurt by his own throwing error. So he pretty much gave up 3 runs. But Jacob Webb, Craig Kimbrell, they both supply a scoreless inning. And Danny Colomb, he was able to get a pair of outs out of the bullpen scoreless. For the Pittsburgh Pirates, they get a 9-2 win over the Philadelphia Phillies as they were able to get a trio of home runs in this one, as you had Andrew McCutchen go deep off of Ricardo Pinto for his 1st home run of the season. Zach Wheelan and Dylan Wheeler, he was not Wheelan and he was not Dylan. Jack Swinitsky was had a rough start to the season, his 2nd home run season, and then you had Joey Bart get his 2nd home run in the campaign. That comes off of Sir Anthony Dominguez for Wheeler. 5 runs surrendered in 5 innings, so he did get 10 strikeouts. Sir Anthony Dominguez, he gives up that home run in his inning of work. You had Orion O'Kerr, hopefully I said that correctly, O'Kerking, He gives up nothing in his ending of work. I have no idea how to pronounce that name, by the way. And Ricardo Pinto, I know how to pronounce that name. Three runs surrendered over the course of two innings. Meanwhile, for Pittsburgh, Mitch Keller, who's been dealing with a velocity dip, he still doesn't have his swing and miss stuff back, but much better in this one. Gives up two runs over the course of seven innings, just four strikeouts, and did allow a home run to Trey Turner down for what? First home run of the season, but from there, Josh Fleming, along with Ryder Ryan, they were both able to supply a scoreless inning. And for the Boston Red Sox, it's been all over the place for them thus far this season, but they find a way to be able to knock off the LA Angels by a count of 5-4. As for the Angels, Tyler Anderson finally gave up an earned run this season. Three runs surrendered in four and a third innings, including a pair of home runs. Tyler O'Neill right now leads the major leagues, seventh home run of the season. Then Tristan Casas, he gets a home run as well off of Anderson. Masataka Yoshida from there goes deep off of Jose Suarez, his first home run of the season for Suarez. He gives up two runs in two innings, and he's rocking an 8.74 ERA. Jose Cicerano, a scoreless inning. Adam Simber, pair of outs out of the bullpen. And for the Angels, you did have Brandon Drury finally be able to bust out. He gets his first home run of the season off of Brian Baio. Baio gives up two runs in five and a third innings. And then the long guy, who I really like for this team, Justin Slayton, 2 2/3 innings, allows one run before Kenley Jansen closes the door. He gets a scoreless inning to be able to get the job done out there. On Sunday Night Baseball, the LA Dodgers unable to get the job done as the San Diego Padres. They're able to get a win by a count of 6-3. That's another over for the Dodgers, by the way. 11 overs, 6 unders, and a push for San Diego. Yu Darvish didn't necessarily have it in this one. Three runs surrendered over the course of five innings, but the bullpen was great. You had Wandy Peralta along with Robert Suarez, both give you a scoreless inning, and then Eniel De Los Santos, Yuki Matsui, they combined for two scoreless. And for the Padres, Manny Machado goes deep off of James Paxton. Fourth home run season. He also gives up three runs in five innings, but it was J.P. Fireyzer who I thought he was going to be solid with the L.A. Dodgers. Currently has a 40.5 ERA, giving up three runs and got just one out. Ryan Brazier, Nick Ramirez, both supply scoreless inning, and Alex Vesia, five outs out of the bullpen scoreless, but that turned out to be the difference for an LA Dodgers team that seems like they either lose outright or they win by multiple runs. And if you're looking at the trends of baseball right now, it has been an overwhelming season. 117 overs to 109 unders thus far this season, and favorites, they're not necessarily doing the world's greatest on the money line. Hitting at 58%, 134 and 97. I mean, 58% sounds good, but when you consider the juice that you're laying, not so great. Road teams, by the way, 125 and 109 on the money line. That has been tremendous, as home teams did have a nice day on Sunday. They went 10 and 5 straight up, but you also had the favorites go 10 and 5 straight up, so that helped them out a little bit, and you did see 9 overs to 6 unders on Sunday as well. So that's what we're seeing trend-wise in baseball, and that's what we got on Sunday. Now, coming up next, let's take a look at Monday's games and just some of the early season surprises that has been noticed by William Bohr of Action Network. We do that next right here on the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And it is always great to be joined by this man as William Bohr. He does great work over at Action Network. He's doing a tremendous job taking a look at the great game of baseball. But over there at Action Network, he does a little bit of everything. I know that he's very much enveloped in what we're seeing in the NFL draft, as that's going to be a very hot button topic next few weeks and so much more. You're able to follow him on Twitter at the letter W. It's like saying Bohr, B-O-O-R, all together. William, great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Nice to be on the show, as always, and nice to have baseball every day. We got a full Monday slate, which is awesome. Not always the case, but looking forward to it.
Absolutely. It is rare in which we get all 30 teams in action on Monday, so we'll certainly dive in on those games. But how about if we go first things first and take a look at just some general takeaways that we've had this far this season. We're about 2.5 weeks in, and no doubt about it, we don't want to be like sounding the alarm and going into overreaction mode or anything like that. But has there been anything that has really been standing out to you, whether that be a trend or whether that be a team or two to the positive or the negative that has surprised you this far this season?
Well, I know they're losing right now as we record, but I'm pretty sure the Dodgers are going to win like 145 games, it seems like. But that's not really a shock. We knew they would be good. I think the two things that are kind of surprising me right now are the Phillies offense. There's a lot of names in that lineup that you know are eventually going to hit. I'm just not sure like when they're going to start doing it. And then the other thing is the Royals. I expected them to take a step forward this year, and they're doing that. I don't know if they're going to play to a 625 win percentage all year, but massive run differential right now, and really like what I'm seeing out of Kansas City.
Yeah, it's been really interesting to take a look at Kansas City, the Royals. They've been able to really put a walloping on the ball on the offensive side of things, and when it comes to their matchup on Monday, they're going to be going up against a White Sox team that I think it's the exact opposite, and I thought the White Sox were going to sink going into the season, but you take off at the very minimum two of their top three hitters, if not their top two guys, and Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert. I have a feeling that this could get pretty epic levels of bad this season for the White Sox.
Yeah, I mean, 2-13 right now, you've already got a run differential of minus 51. That's so hard to do by April 14th. Like you said, I don't think anyone, you know, thought the White Sox were going to win the American League or be huge contenders this year, but I also don't think people saw this coming. Like, this is, as you said at the beginning, like, it's early. We don't want to make sweeping generalizations, but this is not good.
Yeah, this has been absolutely awful for them, to say the least. And we have had a few teams that have been total slugs that have gotten out of the gates relatively slowly, and we are going to be seeing one in action on Monday as well in the Miami Marlins. Looked like they were going to be able to pull it out on Sunday, and then they decided to give up a three-run homer to both cost themselves the game and the run line. And now they have to go up against the San Francisco Giants with young up-and-coming prospect Kyle Harrison getting the start there against A.J. Puck, who I've always liked A.J. Puck as a reliever. He's clearly not cut out to be a starter, in my opinion, but What do you make out of both this game and the Miami Marlins moving forward?
This game's intriguing, regardless of, I guess, what happens in this game. I do have a Giants favorite, but mainly because I'm really high on Kyle Harrison, so I want to watch him pitch and see what he's done. Obviously, small sample size so far, but he was really highly touted as a prospect. As you know, I worked at MLB Pipeline, nice lefty, a lot of good stuff, so I'm excited to see what he does. As you mentioned, the Marlins, slow start. You don't ever want to be 3-13, especially in that division with, you know, the Braves are going to be good. The Phillies are going to be good, even though they're not hitting right now. The Mets, I don't know if they're going to necessarily compete, but they're going to be a solid team. I mean, the Marlins, I think they'll be better than this. Like, I think they have too much talent to be a last place team, but they are digging themselves a hole that's getting deep fast.
Yeah, it certainly is, and they just, in the most desperate way possible, need to get some of their pitching back because they lost three of their projected five starters going into the season, and that has been really weighing on them, and that's a big reason why we've right now got A.J. Puck in the starting rotation, and you don't want A.J. Puck in the starting rotation, as we have found out, as William Bohr, he does tremendous work over at Action Network. He is joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show, and just with regards to the baseball front this far this season, typically it's a case early on during the season where the pitchers are a little bit ahead of hitters, but this year it's been the opposite. We have been noticing that a lot of the hitters have been able to touch up these pitchers. We've been noticing a lot of overs this season. What have been some of the big things that you've been noticing with this trend? Because I think that there's a lot to take away from, like, the pitcher injuries, a lot to take away from bullpens just not being as great in this day and age. But I want to get your thoughts here because it has been a really interesting start to the season in terms of run creation.
Well, I think the first thing you mentioned is kind of pitcher injuries. We've seen some big names go down. So that means that teams are, you know, without their ace. So you're putting, AJ Puck, you're putting people like AJ Puck in the rotation, and that back half of every team's rotation, that 4 or 5 guy is probably a guy that shouldn't be starting. And as a result, they're getting lit up. I think even the pitchers, you know, the Tyler Glasnow's, the ones that are throwing well, I feel like we're seeing a lot of overs cash late with bullpen meltdowns. And I think just teams don't have a ton of depth right now, whether that's a state of the game as a whole, whether that's just people still getting kind of built up and into the swing of the season. I'm not sure, but it does seem like the later you go in a game, all of a sudden the run scoring environment really ramps up.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It has been a lot of late runs in these games, and your under is never safe if you take it full game with the way that a lot of these bullpens have been performing. So that's certainly something that I've been taking a look at, and something that I'm going to be taking a look at for Monday is a team that has been of a lot of intrigue because their offense has not been great, to say the least. Their pitching has been rock solid, though, and I'm talking about the Minnesota Twins. They go on the road to face off against Cole Irvin and the Baltimore Orioles. Orioles are about -145, -155 favorites, total of 9. What do you make out of both this game with Louis Varland going for the Twins and the Twins overall? Because I've loved their pitching, but I just feel like maybe we underrate Royce Lewis a little bit because when he's been in the fold for the Twins, it's a formidable offense, but without him this far this season, they have been just awful at the plate.
If you didn't mention him, I was going to. Royce Lewis, as soon as you mentioned the Twins, is the first name that comes to mind. It's weird because he's so young and he hasn't played so much because his career has been so injury marred, so it's hard to think of him as a huge impact player. Not knocking his skill set, but just in the way you would think about, you know, someone who's got 5 years in the league and is like, you know, really establish himself. But I think you see it in the limited times that Royce Lewis plays. Like you said, the Twins are a much better team. He's electric. He's got power. He's an up-the-middle guy. He can do a little bit of everything. And as soon as you take him out of that lineup, it's just a big gap. Like you said, they're solid. They're not playing bad. The pitching's fine. But just something's missing, and it seems like it's Lewis. And I think they do have a benefit of being in the AL Central. But as I mentioned at the top, you know, the Royals look like they're taking a step forward this year. So I think the Twins, I think it's going to be tough in that division. No one's out of it on April 15th. And if they stay close, I think they probably could, you know, make a move at the deadline because I don't think they're going to be a ton of pieces away in that division because I don't think anyone's running away with it. But I think we really are seeing the lack of Royce Lewis make a bigger impact than probably a lot of people thought.
Yeah, I mean, Royce Lewis, all the grand slams that he had last season, he was one of the best hitters in a road environment all year last year. That has been massive for a Twins team that without him, they just have been a little bit stuck in the mud. And I feel like we're able to say that about the teams that they just played against over the weekend as well, in the Detroit Tigers. The pitching has been tremendous for the Tigers. Offense leaving something to be desired. And now they're slight underdogs at home against the Texas Rangers with Michael Lorenzen going in his season debut against Reese Olson. Want to get your thoughts here on both the Tigers and this game, because personally, I like Reese Olson. I feel like the Tigers should be a little bit of a slight favorite. And I think that this is one of the deeper bullpens right now in the big leagues, with not necessarily that one lockdown closer, but a lot of guys in that Tigers bullpen that they're just going to give you rock solid innings.
Yeah, big park, day game. I know we talked about overs, but this one kind of has me looking the other way. But also, given the trend of April, I'm also just scared to play under so far this year. This one's interesting because you mentioned I'm with you on the Tigers bullpen and not Olson. Rangers part's intriguing with Lorenzen. It's always interesting with players making their first start. You never know how they're going to kind of come out, especially when you're like 2 weeks into the season. On opening day in the first three or four games, everyone's kind of an even playing field. Everyone's making their first start. When you've got someone randomly making their first start a couple weeks later, it's kind of, are they going to be shaky? Are they, presumably, they're going to be on some sort of pitch count? It kind of makes the Rangers a little bit interesting for me here, where you're not really sure what you're going to get.
Yep, absolutely. I do think that makes it a little bit difficult, but do like what I've been seeing out of the Detroit Tigers bullpen in terms of their overall pitching. Certainly has been a case where the offense, it does need to wake up a little bit as well. And with regards to the card that we do have for Monday, anything else that's really standing out to you, whether that be a pitcher that you're maybe feeling a little bit bullish slash bearish about, or just a bet in general that you might like?
So I know this is kind of scary because it involves backing Cal Quantrill and the Rockies, but the Phillies team total right now is at 5.5. They have gone over that once in 16 games this season. I just don't like what I'm seeing from the Phillies offense right now. I know they've got a lot of names, but they've only scored over six once this year. I just don't think they're not hitting the ball hard. They're in the bottom third of the league in expected batting average, expected slugging. And the other thing that I like about this bet is they're a massive home favorite. So they've only got presumably they've only got eight innings to clear that number.
Yep, I do think that it's going to be an intriguing spot here with a Rockies team that has not been in good form, to say the least. But Aaron Nola has really been a guy that I feel like deserves a little bit more slander than he's gotten. He's been relatively rough since the beginning part of last season. And just how have you been looking at this Philadelphia Phillies team? Because it always feels like they're just a slow starting team in general.
I totally agree with the Nola thing. I was looking into, when I first started breaking that game down, I had to write it up for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and I was thinking about the total. I was thinking about maybe Philly's run line, and then all of a sudden, I started looking at Nola's advanced metrics, and I was like, wait a minute. When I hear the name Aaron Nola, I think one thing, and then when I all of a sudden look at the Baseball Savant page, I'm like, wait a minute. These numbers don't match up with, you know, the public perception and what automatically comes to mind. So I think you're definitely onto something there in terms of saying he might deserve a little more slander than he's getting.
Yep, certainly. And I could see us getting quite a few runs in that game with Aaron Nola's been a little bit less than terrific. And Cal Quantrill's probably not going to be throwing some sort of a shutout, especially being backed by that bullpen as well. So I think that that's going to be a fun game for Monday. And I know you, William, are doing a tremendous job taking a look at the game of baseball. And really, you're a 5-tool player over there at Action Network. You do a great job with some of their editing. You mentioned it. You do a great job being able to write some stuff up for Philadelphia Inquirer. I know that you guys have a nice partnership over with the New York Post as well, and so much more. So love to get people at home know what's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, on Twitter, as you mentioned, at WBOOR. And then otherwise, everything, all my bets are logged in the Action app at WBOOR as well. Same handle. That's everything from me, from all of our other experts, you know, daily best bets, game guides, everything that you need to hopefully make some money this baseball season.
Absolutely. And it is going to be a tremendous baseball season. I know that William, he is locked and loaded, taking a look at a little bit of everything. And every single time he joins this show, he does a great job lending his insights and making us a bit smarter. So big thanks to William for joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Monday as we touch them all.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Well, it's great to be able to get William Buehrer aboard. He does a tremendous job taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of baseball over at Action Network. Does articles for many newspapers all across the country. He was referencing the fact that he's going to be in the Philadelphia Inquirer on Monday looking at that game between the Phillies and the Colorado Rockies. And I know that he has spent some time at MLB Pipeline, so he knows these guys that are going to be the stars of tomorrow quite well as well. So big thanks to William for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Monday as we touch them all.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch them all.
Do note that as per usual, any changes are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter /xfeed at @GNet_D1. We are going to be going in Las Vegas rotation order. This is where we go with the National League games first, then the American League games, any interleague games. Those are going to be at the bottom. That'll keep things all nice, neat, clean, and easy. So, without further ado, let's dive in on this first game of 901-902 on the card. It is going to be our DK Network right to pick as well. The San Francisco Giants are on the road facing off against the Miami Marlins. AJ Puck goes for the Marlins, and Kyle Harrison is on the bump for the Giants. Giants are between -115 and -120 favorites. In between even money and +105, that number on Miami. 8.5 is the total. Under is -120. The over is even. I will take a shot on the over that I set at an 8.7 with regards to my handicap, so looking there. But the true write-up here is actually going to be on the Giants money line. I felt like they should have been closer to about -145, -146 favorite. You've got a 3-13 Miami Marlins team that's just stuck in the mud right now, and throwing out a guy in AJ Puck who has a 5.91 ERA and a 6.91 fielding independent. His fielding independent is a full point worse than his ERA, which is north of 5. That's because he's given up 14 walks and 10 and 2/3 innings. It has not been great for him, to say the least. Puck has yet to be able to complete 5 innings in a start this season. He was a reliever at trade for the last few seasons, and now they need to rely upon him for starts. And the Miami Marlins bullpen entering into Sunday, this was before they yacked away the game against the Atlanta Braves on Sunday, they were posting up a 5.69 ERA, 28th in the big leagues. You really don't have a lot of trustworthy pieces behind him. George Soriano has been a relatively good long guy throughout his career, but he, Sixto Sanchez, Anthony Bender, Birch Smith, all supplying north of a 5 ERA right now. And for Kyle Harrison, it's been a little bit up and down for him this season. He has, for his career, given up about 2.1 home runs per 9 innings and 10 career starts. He's got an ERA that hovers right in the neighborhood about a 4.25. Does give you about 9 strikeouts to 2.5 walks per 9 innings, but I really do like his stuff, especially against a Miami Marlins team that has just not been able to tag lefties all season long. For the Miami Marlins, they have had 276 at-bats against lefties thus far this season with 4 home runs and are hitting a .175. You need to just be able to get a little bit more power in general. They let Jorge Soler walk in the offseason. Jake Berger has provided 3 home runs, as has Nick Gordon, but you don't have a lot of guys doing a great job of being able to set them up. For the Miami Marlins, they have been a little bit unlucky at the plate this season. Entering into Sunday, their expected batting average was about 35 to 40 points higher than their actual batting average, but Luis Arraez is right now hitting about a 250, 275 out of Tim Anderson, but these guys provide absolutely no power whatsoever. And then the likes of Avisio Garcia, Nick Fortes, AC Sanchez, hitting below the Mendoza line 200. That's rough going up against a Giants unit that has been much better with their bats away from home rather than at home. 2.8 runs per game at home, more like 5.3 runs per game away from home. They can be a little bit touch and go with regards to the offense, but Lamont Wade Jr. is hitting for about a 3.75. Jorge Soler, Michael Conforto combined 7 home runs between these two guys. Both have north of a 3.35 on base. Matt Chapman not really producing a lot in terms of being able to get on base along Therio Estrada, but both guys do have 3 home runs as well for the Giants. It's been a bullpen that has been a little bit of adventure this year as well. They're in the bottom half of the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA, but Rogers Squared and Tyler and Taylor Rogers, these guys have been very rock solid. I like what Ryan Walker is able to provide for the team, and Landon Ropp has been a good setup guy for Camilo Duval. So I do think that the Giants go out there, continue the misery of the Miami Marlins. My DK Network right to pick is on the Giants on the money line. Did somebody told it an 8.7, so here at the ANF, also like the over. 903, 904 on the betting board. The Philadelphia Phillies play as the Colorado Rockies. Cal Quantrill goes for the Rockies, and Aaron Nola hopes to be super for the Philadelphia Phillies. 8.5 is the total. Over is between -115 to a -125. The under is between -105 to a +105. Between -260 to -270 is that number on the Philadelphia Phillies between +215 and +233. Your number on the Colorado Rockies, if you're looking at the run line, getting about -120 on this Phillies run line. Wouldn't want to lay much more than a -122, but I'm going to be willing to go with the Philadelphia Phillies run line. We were talking about it with William Bohr. Aaron Nola just has not been too great recently. I fully recognize that, but I do think that he lends a better start than Cal Quantrill. Cal Quantrill doesn't give you a lot of swings and misses, only about 6 strikeouts per 9 innings, has been giving up about 3 walks per 9 innings, and I do think that the Philadelphia Phillies are going to wake up out of their slumber at the plate, as for this Philadelphia Phillies unit, it has been less than terrific, to say the least, for them. I do not believe that they have broken 5 runs in a game since April 2nd, which adds the last 2 weeks, and for the Philadelphia Phillies, I do think that they are going to be able to find a way to move the line just a little bit better, as Brandon Marsh has been their top hitter thus far this season, hitting above 300, 4 home runs. You've got Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber who both supplied 3 bombs as well, but neither of these guys doing an amazing job of being consistent. Schwarber about a 340 on base, with Bryce Harper hitting just a .190. Sands that 3 home run game that he had. He has been miserable thus far this season, but Trey Turner is getting online, and for the Phillies, they're just a slow starting team in general, but I do think that the bullpen is going to start to come around. Gregory Soto has actually been relatively solid in the bullpen. You're able to get something out of Matt Strom, Jeff Hoffman, guys like this. It's been Jose Alvarado along with Sir Anthony Dominguez who have been some of the bigger disappointments, but even with these guys a little bit, shall we say, off kilter, it's so much better than what you're getting out of this Colorado Rockies team, which is featuring Victor Vodnik in big time spots. Justin Lawrence, Anthony Molina, Jake Bird, these guys have been very much miserable throughout their careers, and for the Colorado Rockies, they've always got some of the most demonstrative home and road splits with regards to their offense in all of baseball. They had that 12th spot against the Blue Jays a few days ago, which was certainly able to help them out, but past that, they haven't been able to supply a ton of offense as far as the season. Do like what Ryan McMahon is supplying. He's been able to provide north of a .450 on base, pair of home runs, .370 average. That's terrific. And Nolan Jones is looking a little bit better right now, but he, along with Chris Bryant, Brendan Rodgers, Eliarias Montero, all these guys, hitting at .225 or lower with not a lot of power out of many of these guys. Ezekiel Tovar has about 3 home runs. He's been rock solid, but still, with this Colorado Rockies team, a vastly different team when they're at Coors Field versus when they're away from home. And I do think that the Philadelphia Phillies going to be able to get the best of Aaron Nola. He's got an ERA for his career that's nearly a point better when he's at home rather than away from him. And last two starts have been better for him. Only 7 strikeouts in 11 2/3 innings, but has only allowed 2 runs along the way as well. So I do think that Nola finds a way to be able to get the job done. I think that we get plenty of run scoring in this game. Semi total at 8.7. I like the over and the Phillies on the run line. 9-5, 9-6 on the betting board. The New York Metropolitans playoffs to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Martí Pérez goes for the Buccos, and Adrian, don't call him Doogie Howser, is on the bump for the Metropolitans and the Mets. Very slight favorites between -115 to a -122. Between even money and +105, that number on Pittsburgh. 8.5 is the total. Under is -115. The over is -105. Did somebody tell it at 8.4? I do like the under for the Mets. It's been a touch-and-go offense all season long. Last week, they were pretty solid at the plate. 2 weeks ago, they were absolutely awful at the plate. And for the Mets, I think that that's going to be a lot of what we just get out of this team this season. Pete Alonso, Starling Marte, these guys have been tremendous. Both hitting above a .270. Alonso up to 6 home runs. But outside of him, you just don't have a lot of power in general on this team. Francisco Alvarez has been able to do a solid job of being able to move the line and get on base. But Jeff McNeil, Francisco Lindor, DJ Stewart hitting at .225 or lower, that's been a little bit of an issue for this bunch. You've got a Mets team that I do think it's starting to round into form a little bit more, but them being in a pitcher-friendly ballpark out there in New York, that's going to hurt them a little bit as well. And it's a Pirates lineup that has been a little bit inconsistent throughout the season. They've been one of your best teams in all baseball in terms of run creation, but I do have my fear that it's going to reverse itself just a little bit. You've had Ke'Bryan Ace do a nice job being able to get on base with a .400 on base. O'Neill Cruz hitting about a .250, but he's been able to supply the boom with about 3 home runs. He's right now their top real power hitter, though. Rowdy Tellez just has not given you a whole heck of a lot in terms of power. He's actually been able to do a solid job getting on base, but Jack Swinisky off to a little bit of a rough start to the season. You need a bit more out of Henry Davis as well, so has been a touch-and-go Pirates team on that front. Now, I do like the Pirates bullpen. David Benar, Aroldis Chapman, late in games, this is solid, and once they get Ryan Borucki back, as he's dealing with an injury, that's going to help them out as well. Jose Hernandez is someone that's been able to supply a sub-4 ERA the last few seasons. Hunter Stranton is relatively solid, and for the Mets, they were 22nd in the league last year in terms of bullpen ERA, but getting Edwin Diaz back, I think, is so big, as he, along with the setup man and Brooks Raley, are a really nice 1-2 punch. Both of these guys were used for about 15 pitches yesterday. yesterday, so that is a little bit of a issue for them, but I do think that Diaz could probably close in this game if absolutely needed. You still have Drew Smith along with Jake Diekman, who had okay seasons last year. I do think that Jake Diekman probably benefited a little bit from being in Tampa Bay towards back half of the season last year, and a lot of this is a fate of Martin Perez. Martin Perez throughout his career has just been very inconsistent, to say the least. First three starts have been great. 19 innings, giving up just one home run, five walks, doesn't have too much swing and miss stuff, but I do fear that the batted balls in play are going to be hurting him a little bit. He's given up six plus hits in each out of his first three starts, and for Martin Perez, it was so rough for him last season with the Texas Rangers that he did get relegated to the bullpen at a 4.45 ERA and even higher fielding independent, as he wasn't able to really command throughout the season. He was giving up about 3.3 walks per nine innings, and for Adrian Houser, really worked on those walks last season. Previous two seasons have been giving up four plus walks per nine innings last season. He was able to down that to more like 2.6, 2.8, somewhere in that neighborhood. And for Houser, this far this season has been very much pitching to contact, 10 innings, only four strikeouts along the way, but I do think that he's going to be able to figure it out. I do think that New York is going to suit him very well. I did set the Mets at a minus 137 on the money line. Seems like they've gotten a little bit warmer recently. I do expect a young Pirates team to have a few growing pains along the way, so I'm going to be taking a look at this total under. I set my total at 8.4 along with the Mets on the money line. 907, 908 on the betting board. It is the Milwaukee Brewers playing against the San Diego Padres. Joe Musgrove goes for the Pods. Joe Ross is on the bump for the Brewers in the Battles of Joes. It is the Musgrove Joe, who is a favorite of anywhere between minus 120 to minus 130. With the Brewers, you're going to be getting them between plus 105 to plus 115. 8.5 is the total, or if it's between minus 110 to a minus 120, the under is anywhere between even and minus 110. And with the Crew, was willing to take a plus 114 or higher with them. So here at about a plus 115, with seeing plus 120 out there a little bit earlier, I'm going to be willing to ride with the Brewers on the money line. This offense has just been absolutely spectacular thus far this season. I have no idea where it's come from, but when they're going up against right-handed starters, this is a legitimately top three team in the big leagues with regards to batting average. Lefties have really been their kryptonite, but Christian Yelich is looking like the Christian Yelich of old. He's applied five home runs, hitting above a 300. William Contreras, north of a 450 on base, he's been able to supply four home runs. And then it's guys like Sal Frelick, Bryce Durang, these younger guys who have really been able to step up. And the Brewers, though, you don't necessarily love the fact that you've got Joe Ross starting here. They back him up with a really good bullpen. In my opinion, a top five bullpen in the big leagues, Elvis Piguero, Joe Piamps. These are really good setup men for Ebner Uribe, the way that he's able to lock things down. Just imagine what they're going to be when Devin Williams gets back in the fold. Meanwhile, for the San Diego Padres, they were able to get the job done on Sunday Night Baseball, but that was a game that wrapped up very late because of a rain delay. Now they have to travel across the country. That's going to take a lot out of them, and they've been a bit of a touch-and-go team with regards to their pitching as a whole, as the bullpen, not one that I have a lot of faith in, though I did like the pickups of Anya De Los Santos, Alonthwandy Peralta, but Johnny Brito is a big giant fade. Tom Cosgrove, after being so amazing last season, this year he's just been flat. Robert Suarez is not necessarily a lockdown closer. And for Joe Musgrove, he's had a little bit of a rough start to the season. We saw that from him last year as well. First four or five starts of the season, he just wasn't too terrific, was able to rise up after that before getting injured and then being out for the campaign. But I do think that he's just in general a little bit of a slow starter, not necessarily giving out a ton of walks or anything like that, but you tell that he's just missing a little bit of a location, his strikeouts per nine rate, just a hair below nine, and he has given up four plus runs and now three out of his last four starts. So I will say one of those was in the Seoul series out there in South Korea, so I'm willing to take that with a little bit more of a grain of salt. And for Joe Ross, prior to the season, last time he had been out there on a big league mound was in 2021, but so far so good for him. Three runs, two of which earned in the course of two starts, 10 strikeouts in 10 innings. Does need to clean up the fact that he had five walks in his first start against the Minnesota Twins, but I think that he's going to do a formidable job holding down the fort and then get it to a bullpen that is going to find a way to be able to get the job done. Going to be looking at the over here. I do think that both of these Joes give up some runs before the Brewers bullpen is able to put this one on ice, so I'm going to be taking a look at the 8.5 over, and with the Brewers, we'll take plus 114 or higher on the money line. 919, 920 on the betting board. The Arizona Diamondbacks play us to the Chicago Cubs. Ben Brown goes for the Cubs. Merrill Kelly is on the bump for Arizona. Arizona between a minus 136 or a minus 142 favorite. And between plus 118 to plus 126, that number on the Cubs, 8.5 is the total. The over is minus 120, and the under is even, and For the Diamondbacks, I've set them at a minus 156 on the money line. If you're looking to lay a run half with them, you're able to get a plus 145. And honestly, I'm going to be taking a look at that Diamondbacks run line just because this has been a top seven team in the big leagues in terms of run creation. And this has been with Corbin Carroll having his struggles to begin the season. Once you're able to get Corbin Carroll firing all cylinders and you're able to get him online, this team is going to be all the more dangerous. But you've got a lot of guys with between three and four home runs. Christian Walker, Lourdes Gurriel are right at the top of the list. Both of these guys have also been able to do a relatively solid job of being able to get on base. Both are hitting darn near 300. Ketel Marte of the Marte Parte, three bombs, about a 350 on base out of him as well. And then Blaze Alexander has been able to provide a little bit of power. He's found a way on base. So all in all, this Arizona Diamondbacks team has been good on that front. The bullpen, it does leave a little bit of something to be desired. Miguel Castro along with Luis Frias are not necessarily guys I trust in too much. Joe Mantiply was very good a few seasons ago. He's fallen off a little bit. I like what you're able to get out of someone like a Kyle Nelson. Ryan Thompson has been relatively okay, but you do have your rolls of the ice out there. And for the Chicago Cubs, this bullpen has been rather suspect, though. Ben Brown, he's seen a few starts thus far this season, and I think that he came in as a bulk guy in appearance or two. He's actually impressed me quite a bit. I like what I'm seeing out of him. Now, the question is, what sort of length are you going to be able to get? It's most likely going to be 4 to 5 innings, but from what we've seen out of Ben Brown and his real bulk appearances, he looks to be relatively solid. Last year at the minor league level for the Chicago Cubs was getting 12.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, but it's wild. 5.5 walks per 9 innings, which will knock him out of the game early. That means that Jose Quas is going to be seeing some innings. Drew Smyly is able to give you a little bit of length as well, but I do have some question marks with regards to that Chicago Cubs bullpen, and I do think that you're going to be able to get by far the better start here out of Merrill Kelly, and just in terms of length, the better start out of Merrill Kelly. He's got an ERA that's a full point better when he's been at home rather than on the road throughout his career. Has really been able to work on the swing and miss stuff. Did give up right around about 3 walks per 9 innings, but I think that he's going to do a nice job taming a Chicago Cubs lineup that has seen Cody Bellinger have his struggles as far this seasoning, just a .172, but got a lot of guys that have balance in general. C.A. Suzuki, Michael Busch, Christopher Morel have supplied at least 3 home runs as far this season, and other than Morel, both of these guys, they're hitting above a 300, and I think that you're going to have a lot of guys on this Cubs team that they're not going to be, like, amazing, but they'll give you something like Dansby Swanson did a season ago. Right now, he's giving you a pair of home runs. He's hitting about a 245. I do expect that to improve last season. He hit about a 244 and supplied 22 home runs, and I do think that the batting average goes up a little bit, but I think that you're going to have a lot of like-minded bats on this team. So it is a circumstance where I do think that you're going to get some runs, semi-total at 9.3. I like the over, and for the Diamondbacks, I'm going to be willing to lay the run and half as I do think that they get into the bullpen. I think that Ben Brown lends a few nice settings, but then from there, the Diamondbacks are able to take hold. So looking at that Diamondbacks run line and the over, 9-11, 9-12 on the betting board, it is the LA Dodgers playing us to the Washington Nationals. Tyler Glasnow is on the bump for the Dodgers, and Mitchell Parker makes his MLB debut for the Nationals, and the Nationals are sizable underdogs at a +272. -320 is your number on LA. If you're looking to lay 2.5 runs at Circa, you have to lay -115 in order to do so. +2.5, you're getting a -105. We do not have any -1.5 run lines out there, but if I'm able to get like a plus number that is rather mondo, I would need probably like a +145 or so. That'd be something that I'd entertain. And for the Nationals, I set them as a big underdog. I would need at least a +268 to be able to take a shot. But on this Circa opener that I'm seeing, I'd be willing to take a shot now. This is not necessarily the most savory of situations, and if we do see more of the -1.5 run lines, I'd be willing to go up to a -145 with the LA Dodgers, but I just feel like this is a little bit of an out-of-whack number for a Dodgers team that no doubt they're the Death Star, and they're going up against a Washington Nationals team that is throwing Mitchell Parker in this game, but Parker wasn't terrible when he was at the minor league level. Again, I'm not going to say that this guy was, like, amazing, the Mona Lisa Vito of pitching or anything like that, but if you look at his minor league numbers last few seasons, he's been able to give you about 11.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. In his one start this season, 4 innings, he gave up 1 walk. He really did a nice job holding down the fort last season when he was over at the AA level at Harrisonburg. He was able to give you 4.20 ERA, 10.5 strikeouts, and 4.5 walks per 9 innings. You have to wonder how long he's going to be able to go in this game, and the Nationals bullpen, it's not great, but it's not the worst bullpen in the league. Derek Law, Jordan Weems, these are guys that are able to hold down the fort. I like what Hunter Harvey is able to supply as well. Losing Paulo Espino in the offseason means that length is going to be a little bit of an issue for them, but for the LA Dodgers, they've had to burn through quite a few of their bullpen pieces in recent days as well, and it's not been the same bullpen that we've seen in past years. They just picked Nick Ramirez up off the scrap heap. Alex Vesia has been okay. Danny Hudson has been very good, but Ryan Brazier, after having an amazing 2023 campaign with the Dodgers, 2024 has been rough. JP Feiereisen completely yacked the game away yesterday as well, and but the Dodgers are going to need to be all gas with regards to their lineup, as you've got Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani hitting above a 335 with a combined 10 home runs, Teoscar Hernandez, 4 bombs, Max Muncy, 4 bombs. Like, I mean, the top of the fold has been great, though. I will say, Kike Hernandez, James Altman, Gavin Lux, all hitting below the Mendoza line of a 200. And for the Washington Nationals, they've done a solid job of moving the line. And I do expect guys like Lane Thomas, Kiber Ruiz, these guys that were so rock solid a season ago, Joey Meneses, to be able to pick it up after they've started out this season hitting below a 225. You've got a nice standout from Tennessee from a season ago in Trey Lipscomb. I think that he's going to be able to develop as well. You can tell that he's perhaps a little bit young to be up at the big league level, but you were able to add some power in the offseason. Jesse Winker, just one home run, but a 482 on base. CJ Abrams, he's provided 3 bombs as well, so you've got some formidability with regards to this Washington Nationals team. They did an okay job of being able to put bat to ball in that series against the San Francisco Giants on the road, and they're coming off of a nice offensive outburst against the Oakland A's. If I'm able to get something, like I said, about a plus 148 or higher of getting a run F with the Nationals, that's something that I would entertain. And this is a total that I did set at a 9.29 or less. I'll be looking at the over 9.5 or higher to the under. Have to give the respect where it is due to Tyler Glasnow, who's been just absolutely nasty. 29 strikeouts to 24 innings this far this season with the LA Dodgers. Had a little bit of a rough go of it out there in Seoul, South Korea, but ever since then, the previous 3 starts, 4 total runs surrendered, and I do think that he's going to be able to lock it down, and the command has been relatively good. So seeing the 8.5 that I'm seeing right now at Circa, I'd be looking at the over, and if we do indeed get north of a plus 270, I'd be willing to take a shot on the Nationals bunny line. 913, 914 on the betting board. The Boston Red Sox play the Cleveland Guardians. Xavion Curry is on the bump for the Guardians, and it is Cutter Crawford who goes for Boston. Boston is anywhere between a minus 122 to a minus 130 favorite, and between plus 105 to plus 115 is that number on Cleveland. 9.5 is the total. Under is minus 120. The over is even. Seeing one straight 9 out there. That over is minus 115 to minus 120. The under is anywhere between minus 105 to a minus 110. And going to be willing to roll with Boston. Set them as a minus 143 favorite. Keep in mind, this is an 8:10 a.m. Pacific, 11:10 a.m. Eastern time first pitch, just because I believe that this is the Boston Marathon game and all that goes on there. So hopefully you are out there in Boston enjoying this. But that said, I'm going to be willing to take the Red Sox in this ordeal. They've actually lost this game quite a bit in recent years, but with the Cleveland Guardians, they had to play 18 innings on Saturday. They had to play an extra inning game yesterday, and the biggest forte that this Guardians team has is having a bullpen that is in the top 3 in the big leagues in terms of ERA, and all these arms are now cooked. Nick Sandlin, Eli Morgan, these guys are solid, and Hunter Gaddis out of the bullpen has been great. They do a nice job setting up Emmanuel Clase, but you have to wonder how much they now have in the tank. Meanwhile, for the Boston Red Sox, this team is going to be suffering in terms of the bullpen, as they've got a pair of guys, Kenley Jansen, along with Chris Martin, who have been relatively solid. And I actually really like what I've seen of Justin Slayton in a small sample size. He's been given like 10 and a third innings this far. He's only given up one run. He's a nice upside guy that's able to fill multiple innings, much like Garrett Woodlock was a few seasons ago. And for the Boston Red Sox, they just have such an advantage, in my opinion, with Cutter Crawford out there on the mound. Had some of the craziest home and road splits that we saw in all baseball last year. He was posting up a 6 ERA at home, more like a 2.57 ERA when he was away from home. I do think that this is going to iron out a little bit, as for Cutter Crawford, he does a nice job being able to give you some swings and misses. Last year, about 9.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, has been north of 10 thus far this season. Doesn't necessarily give out a ton of walks, and he goes up against a starter in Xavion Curry that is a pitcher contact guy. He's only getting about 6 to 6.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, has dealt with a few ailments, was down at the minor league level to begin the season, and when he was a starter last season, his play really suffered, as coming out of the bullpen, he was giving a sub 3 ERA. He was a nice little bit of a long guy for the team, and then when he got into a starter's role, he was posting up an ERA that was more around a 5.5. And for the Cleveland Guardians, the team does a nice job of being able to hit the lefties, righties, not so much. It's a Guardians team that has been able to provide a little bit more power this year. Josh Naylor up to 4 home runs this season. Jose Ramirez, Stephen Kwan, a combined 5 home runs between them. And Kwan, 386 on base. He, Andrés Giménez, both providing north of a 380 on base for that matter. But you've got the likes of just Wilbrand and Tyler Freeman, I will throw out there Bo Naylor, who's been able to hit some home runs, but has been able to move the line. These guys have not been able to do the world's greatest job on that front, though. Been able to get a little bit of something out of Brian Rocchio, though. He's gone a little bit cold as well. And for Boston, the offense has been very much up and down. Sans Tyler O'Neill right now leads the league with 4 home runs. He has been absolutely tremendous, but what are you going to be able to get out of the younger guys other than Jaron Duran? He's been able to hit 300. He's been tremendous, but Sadine Rafaela, Emmanuel Valdez, they're both hitting below the Mendoza line of 200, and it's been a rough season for Rafael Devers. He's been able to supply 2 home runs, but has been able to reach base. He's right now dealing with a little bit of a shoulder ailment, was out of the fold the last few days in that series against the LA Angels, and is very much questionable for this game as well. And you got Trevor Story, who's back out of the fold because he's dealing with injury as well. So it does make it a little bit rough for the Boston Red Sox, but even with their injuries, I do think that they're going to find a way to persevere, and I do like what Cutter Crawford brings to the table. So it is a circumstance where I'm going to be taking a look at the Boston Red Sox on the money line, as I did set them more around about a minus 143, and with regards to this total, did set it at a 9.1 here at the 9.5, looking at the under to go along with Boston. 9.15, 9.16 on the betting board, the Minnesota Twins. They are going to be on the road facing off against the Baltimore Orioles. Cole Irvin goes for the Orioles, and Louis Varland is on the bump for Minnesota. Minnesota is an underdog of anywhere between plus 130 to plus 132, minus 140 to minus 155. That number on the Baltimore Orioles total on this game is 9. Under is minus 120. The over is even. With the Twins, was willing to take plus 118 or higher with them. I'm going to be willing to roll with them. Cole Irvin is just a guy that I really don't trust in right now. I like really the rest of this Baltimore Orioles team, but Cole Irvin has been rough in his first few starts. He's given up 9 runs over the course of a combined 10 innings. He's walked 5 guys in this time span, and he has never been really a high swing and miss guy. It just feels like, in general, he's been missing his targets a little bit too much, and when you're a pitch of contact guy and you're missing your targets, that's not a good thing. Meanwhile, for Louis Varland, he's given up 9 runs over the course of 9 innings, and what's concerning to me is the 3 walks that he's given up, because Louis Varland last season did a relatively solid job in terms of his command. He would give up the hard contact a little bit, but I do think that he's going to be able to figure it out, and I do think that the big question in this game, can the Minnesota Twins be able to knock Cole Irvin out of this game early and be able to dive into that bullpen? The Minnesota Twins lineup has been brutal, to say the least. Edward Julian has 4 home runs, but he's hitting a .196. You've been able to get a trio of home runs out of Ryan Jeffers. He's been able to about a .225, and you just look at the way that this team is not moving the line. They're hitting below the Mendoza line of a .200 among players that have gotten north of 25 at-bats thus far this season. You've got 2 guys that are hitting above a .225, and Carlos Correa along with Alex Kirilloff. And for the Minnesota Twins, they've got 13 home runs this far this season. One was by Royce Lewis, who he is out of the fold, and he's had 2 at-bats this far this season. So it's not good, to say the least. Now, for the Twins, they've done a tremendous job with their pitching. Cody Funderburk, Jay Jackson, they could be a little bit up and down in the bullpen, but I like what they're able to provide. Steven Okert was a nice addition in the offseason. He and Griffin Jacks are able to really a couple things together along with Brock Stewart. So even though you've got Yoan Duran out of the fold, these guys are solid. And for the Baltimore Orioles, leads are never safe when you've got Craig Kimbrell on your team, though you've got to love what you're able to get out of Yennier Cano, who's been able to give you a sub-250 ERA since the beginning of last season. Dylan Tate, Jacob Webb, these guys are relatively solid as well, though Danny Cobalt, he's been acting up a little bit this season. For Baltimore, you don't necessarily have that one-star guy, though. Anthony Santander, he's had himself a nice little power surge with 3 home runs. Hasn't been able to move the line, though, only hitting about a .180 this far this season. It's actually been Colton Cowser, who's got 4 home runs over the last, I believe, now 4 games, who has really been able to rise up for the team, hitting above a .400, but you've got a lot of guys that, in general, they find a way to be able to get on base. Ellie Rushman, Ryan Mountcastle, Jordan Westberg, these guys are all hitting at least at a .265. Westberg has been able to supply 3 home runs. It's a team that, in general, finds a way to get on base. Cedric Mullins, after a rough start to the season, he's hit 3 home runs. He's been able to give you about a .330 on base. I like Ryan O'Hearn as a little bit of a platooning, situational sort of guy as well. And the Baltimore Orioles just have a lot of these guys in general that they've got so much depth that they're able to do a nice job of being able to match up pitcher versus hitter, and I do think that that's going to bode well for them moving forward, which is why I did set them as a favorite. But that said, I don't think that they're going to be able to do the world's greatest job of getting a nice start here out of Cole Irvin. Now, out there in Baltimore, it is a little bit more of a pitcher's park, and it's not necessarily the world's warmest in the world, though. It's a little bit warmer than what you'd typically see for mid-April. I did set my total at 8.8. I do think that the Twins, being hamstrung on offense, is going to limit the amount of damage that they do to Cole Irvin, but I do think that they do just enough to be able to get the job done. Looking at the 9-under and looking at the Twins on the money line. 9-17, 9-18 on the betting board. The Detroit Tigers play host to the Texas Rangers. Michael Lorenzen goes for Texas. Reese Olson is on the bump for Detroit. Detroit is anywhere between a pick'em to a plus 105 underdog. Meanwhile, between minus 110 and minus 120 is that number on Texas. 9 is the total. Under is minus 120. The over is even. Made the Tigers a very slight favorite in this spot. So you're at even money. Going to be looking at Detroit on the money line. I just have my question marks with Michael Lorenzen. He had a rough start to the season towards back half last year when he was acquired by the Philadelphia Phillies. Got north of a 5 ERA. Has never been a great swing and miss guy when he's been a starter. As a bullpen piece, he was getting more around 8 to 8.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, but he just really doesn't do anything great for you last season. Again, he was posting up 6.5 strikeouts at 2.8 walks per 9 innings. He had a fielding and a pen that was more around a 4.50 with a 4.18 ERA. I think that he had a no-hitter last season, either that or a one-hitter, but past that, I mean, I feel like that might have just been one magical night, and now he has to go up against a Tigers team that has been struggling at the plate. They're at a massive disadvantage with regards to the offense, but I like what I've seen out of Reese Olson. Was pretty rock solid towards back half the season last year when he was given opportunities coming off of getting shelled in his last start against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And the big thing for him is going to be locking in a little bit more in terms of command. He has given up 5 walks in 10 innings thus far this season. Last year, he was giving up more in that neighborhood about like 2.7, 2.8 walks per 9 innings. Gives up a little bit of hard contact, but it's not too bad. He's relatively solid at being able to get some swings and misses. And this Rangers lineup has been a little bit hit or miss. Adolis Garcia is the only guy with multiple home runs for this team. I should say more than 3 home runs, as you've got a few other guys with 2, but for Garcia hitting .328, he has been incredible at the plate. And then you still have guys moving the line. Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, both hitting above a .280, but this is a bunch that you just are looking for a little bit more out of someone like Wyatt Langford, who got some bad calls against him over the weekend, but and he's hitting a .267, but as you have to go yard, you're looking for a little bit more there. Jared Walsh, after a hot start, he's been fizzling a little bit recently as well. The second half of that series against the Houston Astros was not necessarily great for them in general. And then for the Detroit Tigers, right now, one of the biggest wastes of money in all of baseball is Javi Baez, but he's been able to get a little bit of production here moving forward out of Gio Urshela, hitting above a 3-iron, but past Gio Urshela and Matt Vierling, just haven't gotten a lot in general. As a matter of fact, you take a look at this Tigers lineup, and among players that have been able to give you at least 25 at-bats this far this season, you've got 3 guys hitting above a .236 now, hitting approximately .236 with a .350 on base and 3 home runs is Riley Green, so he's done a solid job, and Mark Cannon has provided 3 home runs, but hitting just a .200, you were expecting a little bit more of the young guys in Spencer Torkelson, along Craig Keith. And for the Tigers, the big thing is the bullpen. It is going to be one of the best, in my opinion, in all of baseball. Shelby Miller is able to lock it down. Then you've got the likes of Alex Lang, Andrew Chafin, Jason Foley. All these guys will be able to supply a sub 250 ERA. I like Will Vest in that bullpen as well. And for Texas, they've been able to revamp their bullpen a little bit, though they're dealing with an injury to Jonathan Hernandez. Gotten good innings out of the 2 acquisitions of Kirby Yates, David Robertson, and Jose Leclerc. When he's on, he's on. He can be a little bit of a roll of the dice, though, and I do think that Michael Lorenzen is a bit of a roll of the dice as well. I do think that the Tigers are going to get to him in his first start of the season. So, did set my total here at an 8.7 with the Rangers being a little bit up and down with regards to the lineup. I'm looking at the under, and Detroit has had their issues as well, and this is also out there in Detroit in April, so not the greatest conditions there. But that said, with the Tigers, made them the favorite, so I'm going to be willing to take them at a pick 'em price or better to go along with this total under 919, 920 on the betting board. The Tampa Bay Rays play OC LA Angels. Patrick Sandoval goes for the Angels. Zach Eflin hopes to not be Eflin awful for the Rays. The Rays are between minus 150 to minus 162 favorites, any between plus 135 to plus 140. That number on the Angels, 8.5 to 8 is the total. On the 8, over is between minus 110 to a minus 115. Under is between minus 105 to a minus 110. On the 8.5, under is minus 125 and the over is plus 105. I set my total at an 8.2. Personally, I would rather take a shot on this 8 over rather than the 8.5 under for Zach Eflin. He always does a nice job in terms of command. Last year, well south of 2 walks per 9 innings, more around about 1.6, 1.7 walks per 9 innings, and he gives you some nice swings and misses as well. Was relatively similar when he was at home rather than away from home, but he's been in rough form to begin the season this year, giving up 4 home runs in 17 innings, 6.35 ERA, and got a guy in Patrick Sandoval who's had a little bit more success when he's been away from home rather than when he has been at home the last few seasons, but I just don't know what he does great. He gives up a lot of walks. He's not necessarily the world's greatest strikeout pitcher. Now, last time he faced off against the Rays, he did get 6 strikeouts in 5 innings, but he also gave up 4 runs and 3 walks along the way, so that was not necessarily a great stat line. And for Patrick Sandoval, pretty much the only thing he does is not give up home runs. He does a really good job of being able to mitigate the hard contact, but gives up a lot of, shall we say, softer contact for one, and for two, all those walks, they really do add up. And I do think that the Rays are going to be able to get online in this one. You've got Isak Paredes, who's really led the way in terms of a power perspective. 5 home runs, 333 on base. He has been tremendous, but I take a look at the rest of the team, and you need some of these guys to be able to pick it up in terms of power. You've got Yandy Diaz, Randy Arozarena with a combined 3 home runs, but hitting combined about 200. Harold Ramirez, he's been able to do a solid job hitting at 276 for his average, but also has a 276 on base. And then Jared Calabreo, Ahmed Rosario, these guys have been solid at being able to find a way on, but the Tampa Bay Rays have such a better bullpen than what you're going to be finding for the LA Angels. I love what you're able to get out of Colin Boucher, Pete Fairbanks, Jason Adams. These guys are tremendous. They pick up Fabio Maton in the offseason, who I think is going to be a nice piece as well. And then for the LA Angels, you're relying upon a lot of reclamation projects. Jose Cicerano, the ancient Hunter Strickland, Adam Simber. This is not a place where you want to be. Now, Carlos Acevedo's meant more in the 8th and 9th inning. Have been relatively solid as well, but I do think that the Tampa Bay Rays are going to be able to get to him. I do think that a Rays offense has been very hit or miss. Them being able to put up a nice number on Sunday is going to be able to propel them moving forward, so I do like the over in this spot. I set my total at an 8.2, and with the Tampa Bay Rays, I made them a favorite of minus 148. Right now, we're finding right around about a minus 148 is the best price that I'm finding. If you're taking a look at laying a run and a half, it's anywhere between minus 130 to a minus 135. Personally, I'm a little bit torn as to go money line or run line. Needed at least a plus 128 to take a look at the run line. I personally would rather take a little bit of a chalkier money line rather than the run line. So at a minus 148 or less, looking at that Rays money line, but subject to a little bit of change, and going to be going with the over as well. 921, 922 on the betting board. The New York Yankees at the road. They're facing off against the Toronto Blue Jays. Chris Bassett is the hook, line, and sinker for the Jays, and it is a Luis Eel on the bump for the Yankees. 8 is the total, over is minus 120, the under is even, with the Blue Jays are between minus 108 to minus 115 favorites. Meanwhile, minus 105 to plus 103 is your number on the New York Yankees, and I set the Blue Jays at a minus 116. I'm going to be willing to back them on the money line. For Luis Eel, he does a really good job of getting swings and misses throughout his MLB career, well north of 11 punchouts per 9 innings. He's also giving up north of 5 walks per 9 innings throughout his MLB career, and thus far this season, he's given up 3 runs in 9 innings. That's not bad, while getting 14 strikeouts, but also 7 walks. That is a big thing for Luis Eel. If he can lock in the command, he's going to be a tremendous pitcher, but I need to see it to believe it. And for Chris Bassett, last season he at home was a much different pitcher than he was away from home. A sub-290 home ERA, a 450 ERA on the road, and he's backed up by a bullpen that has been a little bit touch and go. You've been able to have Chad Green be able to do a solid job locking things down, and Yimi Garcia, after he was relatively rough last season, he's been able to do a solid job, but the likes of Paulo Espino, Mitch White, the long guys are not too terrific. Tim Mesa was great for the CMA season ago, but as far as this season, he's been scuffling. And the question for the Blue Jays is, can they take advantage of being able to get some free passes? Because they just have not done a great job of being able to put the ball in play in general. And you take a look at each of the top 5 players in terms of total at-bats for this team. None of their top 5 players in terms of at-bats really given. They are above a .222 with regards to their batting average. You do have Vlad Guerrero Jr. has went deep 3 times and is providing a .306 on base. But these guys are just not moving the line in general. The guys that have been best for the team, honestly, are the likes of Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, Kevon Biggio, Justin Turner, especially Turner with a .480 on base. But Falefa, Kevon Biggio, these guys are coming hit right around about a .300, and they go up against a unit in the New York Yankees who finally have Aaron Judge firing all cylinders. He was able to get a 3-run homer in that game against the Guardians yesterday, and that's big because he's been hitting right around about a .200 thus far this season. But you've got Juan Soto supplying 3 bombs north of a .450 on base. Anthony Rizzo is finding a way to be able to move the line as well. Alex Verdugo's been a little bit rough. The catcher's spot in general has left something to be desired, but all in all, the Yankees, their approach at the plate has been much better. And hey, Anthony Volpe is hitting north of a .370. Giancarlo Stanton has been able to give you 4 home runs. And the Yankees have a leg up in terms of bullpen. The question is, how fresh are they going to be? Because they have to play a double dip on Saturday, on Sunday. Game goes to extra innings. You've got Ron Mananacchio back in the fold, who I really do like. And they picked up Victor Gonzalez, Caleb Ferguson in the offseason. But as we know, it's always a little bit touch and go with regards to Clay Holmes. Nick Birdie is not someone that I necessarily trust in too much, and relying upon the likes of Luke Weaver, not necessarily a place where you want to be. With Luis Eel, I just have my question marks with him, and I do think that Chris Bassett, who he's been just a different pitcher when he's been at home rather than away from home, especially in terms of command, he finds a way to be able to get the job done. I'm willing to lay up to a minus 115 with the Blue Jays on the money line, and this is my total at an 8.8, so I'm going to add the Jays money line and diving in on this 8.5 over 923, 924 on the betting board. It is the Chicago White Sox playing us to the Kansas City Royals, as Seth Lugo gets the start for the Royals, and Nick Nastrini is going to be on the bump for the White Sox. And the White Sox do find themselves as sizable underdogs between plus 160 and plus 163. Anywhere between minus 180 to minus 192 is that number on the Kansas City Royals sign. It's a total over and under both at minus 110. If you're looking to lay a run half with the Royals, you're going to be laying right around about a minus 115. And plus 163 is my minimum buy point on the Chicago White Sox. Circa has a plus 163. They are getting me to do it again. I'm going to take a look at the Chicago White Sox, knowing how brutal they are. But I do think that Nick Nastrini is actually going to be able to go out there and give you a good start. Once again, another one of these guys that maybe the command is not necessarily the world's greatest, but he's able to give you some swings and misses. A young 24-year-old guy who, while he was over at UCLA, was a Rick the Wild Thing Vaughn candidate back in his college days. No command, but had really good swing and miss stuff. That's really what he is at this point, a little bit of a project going against the Kansas City Royals unit that has been all over the place in terms of their offense. Now, Seth Lugo has been tremendous through three starts thus far this season. 18 and two-thirds innings. He's allowed two runs, no homers. He last season was very good in terms of his command, as he had about two walks per nine innings as a starter for the San Diego Padres. Not a great swing and miss guy, but a formidable one. And the big question for the Royals is, if they get a lead from Mr. Seth Lugo, can they hold on to it? As John Schreiber has been okay in this bullpen, but Chris Trent, Will Smith, not necessarily great acquisitions. Now you're relying upon Jordan Lyles out of the bullpen. James MacArthur is someone that I don't really like. And with the Chicago White Sox, it is very, very brutal with regards to this team, as well as you take a look at this bullpen. And I mean, Tanner Banks as a long guy has not been bad, along Jared Schuster. Stephen Wilson can give you a few okay innings, but it is rough, and I'm not going to lie to you. This is a Chicago White Sox team that has been absolutely awful at the plate, because now you've got both Eloy Jimenez along with Luis Robert currently being out of the fold. Kevin Sheets has been a nice find. Sheets has been able to provide a pair of home runs, sitting about a 285, but the White Sox were dead last in the big leagues last season in terms of walks drawn on a per bat basis, and that has really been ailing them. They don't have a lot of plate discipline. Paul DeJong, pair of home runs, but is hitting well below the Mendoza line of a 200. And among players that are actually healthy and are going to be able to play in this game, you just take a look at things. And for the Chicago White Sox right now, you've got three guys hitting above a 250 and four guys that are currently hitting above a 222. That is not necessarily where you want to be. And for the Kansas City Royals, I talk about how undisciplined at the plate the Chicago White Sox are. They're a bottom team in the big leagues in terms of their plate discipline as well. Now, it doesn't matter with Bobby Witt Jr., because he's hitting well north of 300. He's been able to supply 3-plus home runs, and Salvador Perez doing a really good job of being able to find a way on base, being able to move line as well. But that said, you've been having some hit-or-miss sort of games with Michael Garcia. Got off to a really hard start with 3-plus home runs. Has just not been able to find a way to be able to get on base recently. I do think that you're going to continue to get some relatively good at-bats from the middle of the fold as well, but I just can't trust in this bullpen. I do think that we've gone a little bit too far, as I did set my minimum buy point at a plus 163, so going to be looking at the money line of the White Sox. And with this total, I did set it at 8.9. Both of these teams have had their ups and downs with their offense, especially the White Sox, so looking at the under and the money line of Chicago, 925, 926 on the betting board. The Atlanta Braves play on the road against the Houston Astros. Spencer Arrighetti is going to be on the bump for the Astros, and Darius Vines is on the bump for Atlanta. Right now, the loan book that has a number up is circa minus 110 is your number on Atlanta, even money on Houston, 9.5 is the total, over is minus 115. And the under is minus 105. Going to be one to roll with the Atlanta Braves in this battle of two, not necessarily primetime starters, to say the least. I set the Braves at a minus 117, so being able to get them at a minus 110, pretty fair price. I'm going to be willing to go to the money line there. As for the Atlanta Braves, they do have to travel for this one, but they've got someone in Arrighetti who, in his first appearance, he just did not look ready for the big leagues. He got three innings, gave up seven runs, all of which were earned. He Gave up three walks along the way, and if you take a look at him at the minor league level last season, he had a 4.40 ERA, and his swing and miss stuff wasn't too bad with about 10.5 strikeouts per nine innings, but north of four walks per nine innings, I do have my question marks as to whether or not he was promoted a little bit too quickly. And then you take a look on the flip side for Darius Fiennes. He's gotten a cup of coffee at the big league level last season. He was sent up to the big leagues for five total games. Two of them were starts. Wasn't great, wasn't terrible. He gave you about six strikeouts and three walks per nine innings, posted up about a four ERA. Fielding independent was a little bit higher. And if you look at what he did at the minor league level last season, not great swings and misses, but relatively good command. Gives up a little bit of hard contact, but it's nothing overly serious. He's someone that's 26 years old. He comes in from, I believe, Cal State Bakersfield. And I do think that he's just backed up in general by the more well-rounded overall team. Josh Hader, along with Ryan Presley in the back half of the bullpen for the Astros is nice, but some of you guys like Hector Neris, Phil Maton, Ryan Stanek that they've had in past years in the bullpen, they're no longer there. Brian Abreu's relatively solid, but past that, they're looking at a bunch of newer bullpen pieces, so you're looking at guys like a Miguel Diaz to be able to hold down the fort, Sean Dubin, and these guys are just not the same as they have been in the past. And for the Atlanta Braves, it's been touch and go with regards to this bullpen, but we saw these guys perform very, very well the last few seasons. Pierce Johnson last season with a Braves uniform on at a sub-2 ERA. Tyler Mazick, AJ Minter have been a little bit off kilter after they had some injuries last season, but Rossy Iglesias still a really good closer, and let's call it what it is. The Atlanta Braves, they are the best offense in all of baseball with Marcell Ozuna right now supplying 7 home runs and a .375 average. It is absolutely incredible. And then Austin Riley, Michael Harris, the second, Ozzie Albies, Matt Olson, all these guys are hitting at least a .267. All these guys have multiple home runs. Ronald Acuna Jr., after a rough start to the season, still stuck on zero home runs, but .385 on base. Orlando Arcia, Jared Kelnick, these guys are moving the line. And for the Houston Astros, the top of the fold has been great. Jose Altuve, coupled with Yordan Alvarez, these guys have been amazing. Won't forget about Kyle Tucker either. He's up to 4 home runs, had a really nice weekend against the Texas Rangers, but Altuve along with Alvarez both giving you north of a .425 on base. Both of these guys have been able to give you 4+ home runs, so that's been solid. But Alex Bregman off to a little bit of a rough start, and the bottom of the full with Jose Abreu really manning that. That's been a bit of an issue as well, but bringing in Yainer Diaz has really been able to fortify the catcher spot. The Astros are starting to get their act together on offense. Pitching has been a little bit of an issue, and I think the pitching is going to be an issue for both of these teams and what I think is going to be a high-scoring affair. Somebody told 10.1, so even if we reach a 10, looking at the overhand with the Braves, one delay up to a -116 on that money line. 927, 928 on the main board. The Oakland A's are going to be playing us the St. Louis Cardinals. Sonny Gray is on the bump for St. Louis. Ross Stripling goes for Oakland. Oakland is a underdog of between +145 to +156. Meanwhile, anywhere between -170 to -176 is your number on St. Louis. 7.5 to 8 is the total on the 8. Under is -120. The over is even on the 7.5. Over is -120. And the under, that is even. And I was willing to take a +153 or higher with the Oakland A's. Seeing a +155 or so, I'm going to be willing to dive in there for Ross Stripling. The biggest issue that he's always had throughout his career is just giving up hard contact. You take a look at what he's done, and he has given up for his career right in that neighborhood about 1.4 home runs per nine innings, but he does a nice job with his command. Last few seasons, he's only been giving you about 2 to 2.5 walks per nine innings. Not necessarily going to strike out a lot of guys, but he's in a great pitcher's park in Oakland, especially during the nighttime when the marine layer is out and is able to knock down some of those fly balls. And for St. Louis, they just have not been able to ride too much on offense. And I was expecting this offense to be tremendous, but Nolan Arenado, he's hitting about .273, but just a .290 on base, has flied just one home run. Paul Goldschmidt hitting a .193 with one home run. That's an issue, especially when you've got the younger outfielders like Jordan Walker, Victor Scott, hitting below the Mendoza line of .200. Mason Wynn has actually been very solid thus far. About a .350 batting average, a complete turnaround for what we saw in his brief stint at the MLB level last season. And Nolan Gorman, 3 home runs, but not really able to get on base. Meanwhile, you take a look at the Oakland A's, and this team is very much built on their pitching, not so much their hitting, though. Shea Langeliers did have a 3 home run game against the Texas Rangers a few days ago. You just take a look at this bunch, and you've right now got two guys that have given you north of 23 at-bats, and are currently hitting above a 220. That is not necessarily terrific to say the least, but though Tyler Nevin has been halfway decent as well in his small sample size, but J.J. Blade A giving you about a 300 RBIs, 260 average. You've been able to get some good production as well out of Abraham Toro with about 355 on base, but it is an A's team that is going to have problems scoring all season long with this ballpark, but they have been tremendous in terms of their bullpen. Danny Jimenez has been locked down late in games, and though I feel like he should be a starter, Mason Miller has been a tremendous closer as well. Lucas Ursage had that pitch yesterday, but he's been great. Austin Adams has yet to give up a run this far this season. And for the St. Louis Cardinals, they were a bottom eight bullpen in terms of ERA a season ago. You've been able to get good production out of Ryan Helsley ever since his All-Star campaign in 2022. And they did pick up in the offseason Andrew Kittredge, but guys like Ryan Fernandez, Ryan Tapera, Andre Pallante, they're not guys that you can necessarily have a lot of faith in. And that hurts a guy in Sonny Gray that started out the season on the injured list. First start out, five scoreless innings against the Philadelphia Phillies, but did give up five hits along the way. He has given up three runs or fewer in all but three out of his last 33 starts dating back to the beginning of the 2023 campaign. So I do think that this is going to be a game where the offense is going to be a little bit more muted. Here at an 8, which is mostly what I'm seeing, I'm going to be taking a look at the under, but I think that Oakland going to do a nice job of persevering in this one. I'm going to take the plus 155 on them to go along with the under, and we wrap things up with 929-930 on the betting board. The Seattle Mariners play us the Cincinnati Reds. Yes, we are on to Cincinnati, and they're on to Mr. Frankie Montas getting the start for them. George Kirby goes for Seattle, and Seattle is finding themselves as a favorite of any between minus 145 to minus 155. Between plus 124 to plus 136 is the number on the Reds. 7.5 is the total, over and under anywhere between minus 105 to a minus 115. And for the Mariners, I did set them on the money line at a minus 138. Right now, if we can nudge up by about like 3 or so cents on Cincinnati, I would be willing to take a shot on that money line. So that's right now what I'm watching out for. Either that, I'd be taking a north of plus 145 run line on the Seattle Mariners. I need at least a plus 147, seeing between plus 145 to a plus 150. So a little bit of wait and see mode there, but I anticipate being able to get the desired right around plus 138, plus 140. I need to be able to take the Reds on the money line for Frankie Montas. He was pretty much out of baseball last season due to injury, and he's been rock solid thus far this season. He has given up 6 runs in 16 and 2/3 innings. A few of them were unearned. He's been hurt by the fielding a little bit. Swing and miss stuff, not quite what it was prior to him going on the injured list for a pro long period of time, but this has been a nice second stanza for him in his career after he just completely flamed out in that trade with the New York Yankees. And for George Kirby, you know what to expect with this guy. He's not going to give out a lot of walks. He had 2 walks in his first start of the season against the Red Sox. Past that, not a single one, though. In his last 2 starts, while he's given up 0 walks, he's also given up 13 runs. And that's just what happens with George Kirby, because he's always going to find the zone. He can get tattooed much easier, and he doesn't necessarily have the world's greatest stuff to make you whiff. And for the Cincinnati Reds, this bunch has had 2 guys, Ellie De La Cruz, Aldon Spencer Sear, really kicking into mock turbo thus far this season. Both of these guys hitting north of a 285. You've got a combined 7 home runs between the 2 of them. Now, it's a hit-or-miss lineup in that you've got Jonathan India, Christian Encarnacion Strand, Jameer Candelario, all hitting below the Mendoza line of 200, though I will say to the credit of India, about a 375 on base. And for Encarnacion Strand, he's now got a pair of home runs to his credit as well. But you do need some of these guys to pick it up a little bit. The Reds at the bottom of the fold, they haven't necessarily been able to get a ton of production, though Tyler Stevenson coming back, I think, is big for them. You've got a Reds bullpen that is not great, not terrible. I'd like the pick up of Brent Suter in the offseason, as he was very good with the Colorado Rockies. Had a rough first week of the season, but he's finding his form. Buck Farmer, Fernando Cruz, Lucas Sims, these are all good but not great bullpen pieces. And the Seattle Mariners are going to have a little bit of a leg up in terms of bullpen there. They just find these guys, are able to give them good innings that are really written off by a lot of other teams. Trent Thornton, Taylor Cicado, Gabe Spire, good examples of this. Now they've got Ryan Stanek in the fold. Andres Munoz is able to lock it down. And even with Matt Brash out, they're very rock solid on that front. But for the Seattle Mariners, where is the offense going to come from? Because if you look at regulation, so that takes out the fact that they scored runs in extra innings against the Toronto Blue Jays. And if you look at only the first 9 innings of a game, they have scored 4 runs or fewer in each of their last 7 games. And they have just gotten off to another pendant slow start. 3rd straight year for them of this: Julio Rodriguez, J.P. Crawford, Jorge Polanco, Mitch Garver, Cal Raleigh, Dylan Moore, Luke Raley, Luis Urias. all hitting below a buck 85. Actually, Jorge Polanco's hitting a buck 96. So, sorry, Jorge Polanco, you're actually hitting a buck 96. But, I mean, the point is, these guys are just not producing at all. Ty France, Mitch Haniger, they've been relatively solid. These guys are combining at about a 270 or so. Haniger, a pair of home runs, and Dominic Canzone, three home runs for him. But he's, once again, a guy that's not really moving the line very much. I do think that the Seattle Mariners, they do get some relatively good production here out of George Kirby. And I do think that this lineup is going to start to hit a little bit more. I recognize that Seattle is a little bit pitcher friendly, but that said, I do think that things are going to warm up a little bit. Frankie Montas is not having the deception of old, but at the same time too, George Kirby, he pretty much puts it out there to be hit, and I do think that some of these lesser Reds bats are going to be able to pick it up as well. So I did set my total at 8.2. I'm looking at the over, and I'm going to be willing to take a plus 138 or higher with the Reds, and that'll wrap things up for the Monday edition of the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And a big thanks to William Bohr for joining me in the last segment. Does great work over at Action Network. If you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, The Baseball Betting Show, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, whatever you for this podcast, you have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /XTimeline at GNN_81. Keep in mind, letters M, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire on whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast by the 5-star review. I'm coming at you guys every single day throughout the baseball season, and that means I'm back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.